welcome to another episode of the thing that I'm doing here, the podcast. Today I couldn't record anything earlier today because I was set to perform at a storytelling show called 10x9, which means that they have 9 storytellers telling 10-minute stories about a certain topic. Every show has different topics. This show's topic was fear, I guess, because it's Halloween, a few days from now. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the story that I told, and that's going to save me some time for recording an episode, I guess. The story is a bit awkward at the beginning. It doesn't get much better by the end, but if you like listening to my ramblings, if you listen to the podcast, you might enjoy it. I don't know. And if you have any standards for comedy, you probably don't listen to me anyway, so I'm not gonna care about that. So this will be the episode today. It's gonna be the story. It's about 12 minutes long. Just bear with me there. The first 3 minutes are probably completely awkward, but it gets a little better by the end, so I hope you enjoy it. The quality is a bit shitty, it's from my phone, but I'm gonna try to edit it as much, filter it or whatever, as much as I can. I hope you enjoyed the story, and I'm gonna talk to you again in a few days.
Put your hands together for Dimitar Iltez.
This habit to not prepare, and that's the case tonight.
Great.
Which is, Wigand. I was arrested once. That was in 2006. I had just moved to the country. I came to America. I'm from Bulgaria. I'm not going to explain what that is. Google it. I moved from Bulgaria to America in 2006. So I just spent 10 years in the States. Doesn't matter. But I got arrested a few months after I moved to Chicago area. I lived in the town of Justice, Illinois, which is the communal equivalent of the color gray. It's the most boring place with the most trailers that people live in, across of cemeteries that people also exist there. Remains of them.
Who's the point?
Oh, I got arrested because here's the thing. I lived with 4 more people, had roommates, and we had this car. We bought a car, all of us. We kind of gathered together $600, and we bought this 92 brown Honda Accord from some Macedonian guy in Woodridge, Illinois, which is a detail. Because the Macedonian guy was 50 years old, and Macedonia as a country is 20 years old. So I don't know. He lived his life for 30 years not being Macedonian, which makes him something else. It's a mystery. So we had this car, and it was a nice car up until we broke it severely. And first thing to go was the transmission. Because in Europe, a lot of the people drive manual transmission cars, and this was not. That was an automatic. So what people would do when you have a manual transmission, you would drive downhill and you would downshift to slow the car down. So my friend tried to do the same thing with an automatic. So going downhill, he jammed the stick into reverse, and then dubstep music happened. And so the car lost its reverse gear. So it couldn't go into reverse. So every time we try to park somewhere where we can escape forwards, or if not, all of us had to gather in the car and everyone would open a door and kind of push the car backwards. We looked like a crab who went into too big of a shell and it's struggling to move it around. The whole car looked like a transformer who just gave up half through the transformation. Like, bing, ah, fuck it, come on, we close it. So that was the car that we drove. Also, another roommate of mine rear-ended a semi-truck, so he smashed the front end. So no front end, no reverse gear, color brown. Which really shows two things about you if you have a brown car. Number one, I gave up on my dreams. Or number two, I like to carry drugs at all times. These are the two things that shows about you if you have a brown car. It might not be true, that's the perception that people get. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't have a driver's license. Back in Bulgaria, not everyone can afford a car or food. So you gotta really have your priorities straight. So I didn't have a driver's license. I didn't know how to drive. So I moved to America and I need to drive this car to work. I didn't have work at the time, but my hypothetical future job. I need to get to there. And so I went to the procedure and I took the written test, but I still didn't know how to drive. So I had my friends with me, you know, you gotta have someone to be next to you when you drive around with that permit thing that they give you. And one morning, I'm getting to the story. One morning, I decided I'm gonna take the car by myself because everyone else was sleeping. So I'm gonna go to the store to buy coffee. So when they wake up, I'll give them coffee. It came from a place of love. And so I take the car and I go a block. And I got pulled over by the police. Because apparently, where I live, there is a school. And so during school hours, one of the streets becomes a one-way street. Which is, I mean, it's hard enough for me to know all those details. You know, what about them loopholes? I don't know how that worked. Yeah, so there is a police car right next to the school where the street turns one way in the opposite way. So I was against the grain, if you would. Is that the expression?
If you will.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Some people call that language barrier. I call it stupidity. Ah. So, I'm driving to get pulled over by the police. Now, my car looks like shit. I didn't. Because I looked really innocent. I was younger, and it was 10 years ago, I was younger. My hair was thicker, and my skin was better. I didn't have this horrible facial hair. My nose was smaller, and my teeth were wider. I was less fat. And I was full of dreams, you know, which it went away eventually. But in this moment, I was, you know, I mean, I was the human manifestation of a puppy. You know, I was one of those, hi, how are you? Those polite people, because I had low self-esteem, but that's a different point. And they pulled me over, right? And I'm an innocent-looking guy. I was so innocent. If I would go to Penn State, I would have been Jerry Sandusky's first choice. That's what I'm trying to say. I was innocent-looking. I didn't look like a criminal, you know what I'm saying? So they pull me over, my car indicates I might be selling drugs. My face indicates I'm lost and confused, you know? So this guy pulls me over, and he gave me the benefit of the doubt, because I'm visually white, you know? He looks at me and goes, ah, good morning. But I opened my mouth and let that Dracula voice out, and the look of his face changed immediately to confusion and anger and disappointment. It's like the same sort of look a South Carolinian gives to his son once hearing the words, "That's my boyfriend, Jamal," you know? The same look he gave me. So he immediately went and get out of the car and all that good stuff. Pat me down, looked for weed, which might have been, I don't know, my roommate was smoking every day. I was like, oh, hopefully you don't find anything. He didn't. But, you know, they asked me, we have a license. I said, no, I have this permit and an ID. And they said, you're not allowed to drive without someone with you. And I said, I know, but I was practicing, I said. He said he should have practiced more reading the signs because it said one-way speed. And it just, I'm like, come on, don't be a dick. I mean, I didn't say it, I thought. But I was super scared too, so I was really respectful. So they pulled me out of the car, handcuffed me, put me in the back of the police car, drive me to the police station. They put me in a cell and handcuffed me to the wall with my innocent face, right? I still look the way I looked. They, you know, fingerprints, all that, you're right to remain silent. I wasn't listening because, yeah, I was already thinking, oh shit, they're going to deport me because that's what they do to criminals and I am viewed as one. Mm-hmm. And they told me, listen, we can let you go, but you got to pay a bail, whatever the fuck, $100. And I said, I don't have them, but my roommates do. If you would give me my phone, because they took all my stuff, I would call them, they'll come bail me out, and I don't want any trouble. And so the guy takes my phone and holds it to the light like this and starts looking at it. Because in his eyes, he's a hero. This guy, the police officer. What I see is a guy who didn't have enough hardship in his life. Because if you had to chop wood at minus 15 degrees behind a shack, that's in behind your house, which is a bigger shack. You wouldn't be a dildo who harasses baby face puppy people, right? But this guy, it wasn't like that. He thought, oh, I'm saving the world from the possibility of exploding phones. My phone was a Samsung, but that was back in the day. They weren't dangerous. He was either a visionary or a dick. I don't know which one. I'll go with dick. So give him my phone eventually. He found no gunpowder on it or something. So he gives it to me. I call my friends. They bail me out. Later on, I had to go to a court and I had my license at the time. So I just paid a $100 fine and it was fine. But I had a point, but I forgot what it was. What I'm trying to say is the police, people talk about them a lot. And, you know, the police say, oh, the bad cops who shoot people, there are just a few of them. And I don't think so. I think most of them are assholes. I don't know. Just because you don't shoot people every day, it doesn't mean you're a good person. And that was proven just a few months ago when on John Oliver's show, he pointed out Justice Illinois as one of the cities who own a tank. Just in case something goes bad. Either they're expecting the zombies to attack, or they're just too afraid to do their job. I don't know how to end this, but I'm going to leave you with the words of that of one of my favorite poets. His name is Little Wayne, and he says, "Life is a bitch, and I have my hand up her dress. The money don't sleep, so Weezy can't rest. And AK-47 is my fucking hairdresser." Oh. Thank you, guys. Have a good night. All right.